Chapter 1. The Discovery. July 24, 1911. The gaunt 35-year-old American explorer Hiram Bingham clambered up the steep slope of the cloud forest on the eastern flank of the Andes, then paused beside his peasant guide before taking off his wide-brimmed fedora and wiping the sweat from his brow. Carrasco, the Peruvian army sergeant, soon climbed up the trail behind them, sweating in his dark brass-buttoned uniform and hat, then leaned forward and placed his hands on his knees in order to catch his breath. Bingham had been told that ancient Inca ruins were located somewhere high up above them, nearly in the clouds. Yet Bingham also knew that rumors about Inca ruins were as rampant in this little explored region of southeastern Peru as the flocks of small green parrots that often wheeled about screeching through the air. The 6'4", 170-pound Bingham was fairly certain, however, that the lost Inca city he was searching for didn't lie ahead. Bingham, in fact, hadn't even bothered to pack a lunch for this trek, hoping instead to make a quick journey up from the valley floor to verify whatever scattered ruins might lie upon the jagged peak rising above, then to hurry back down. As the lanky American with the close-cropped brown hair and the thin, almost ascetic face began to follow his guide up the trail again, he had no idea that within just a few hours he would make one of the most spectacular archaeological discoveries in history. The air lay humid and warm upon them, and, looking up, they saw the ridgetop they were seeking stood another 1,000 feet above, obscured by sheer-sided slopes festooned with dripping vegetation. Above the ridge, swirling clouds alternately hid and then revealed the jungle-covered peak. Water glistened from freshly fallen rain, while an occasional mist brushed across the men's upturned faces. Alongside the steep path, orchids erupted in bright splashes of violet, yellow, and ochre. For a few moments, the men watched a tiny hummingbird, no more than a shimmer of fluorescent turquoise and blue, buzz and dart among a cluster of flowers, then disappear. Only a half hour earlier, all three had carefully stepped around a vibora, a poisonous snake, its head mashed in by a rock. Had it been killed by a local peasant? Their guide had only shrugged his shoulders when asked. The snake, Bingham knew, was one of many whose bite could cripple or kill. An assistant professor of Latin American history and geography at Yale University, Bingham ran a hand down one of the heavy cloth leg wrappings that he'd wound all the way up from his booted ankles to just below his knees. Might prevent a snake bite, Bingham no doubt thought. Sergeant Carrasco, the Peruvian military man who'd been assigned to the expedition, meanwhile undid the top buttons of his uniform. The guide, trudging ahead of them, Melchor Arteaga, was a peasant who lived in a small house on the valley floor, more than 1,000 feet below. It was he who told the two men that on top of a high mountain ridge Inca ruins could be found. Arteaga wore long pants and an old jacket, and had the high cheekbones, dark hair, and aquiline eyes of his ancestors, the inhabitants of the Inca Empire. Arteaga's left cheek bulged with a wad of coca leaves, a mild form of cocaine narcotic that once only the Inca royalty had enjoyed. He spoke Spanish, but was more at home in Quechua, the Inca's ancient language. Bingham spoke heavily accented Spanish and no Quechua. Sergeant Carrasco spoke both. Pichu, Arteaga had said when they had first visited him the day before. The words were difficult to make out, filtering as they did past the thick gruel of coca leaves.